Good morning, everybody. We're going to start with the next presentation, and I have the honor to present Dean Olin Ward. Dean is a well-established business and consulting coach. He holds a CSES and the CTPS certification. He has been part of a FedCup as a strength coach, and he traveled with Eugene Bouchard for a year. So he knows a lot about conditioning and working with top athletes. Dean has extensive experience working with juniors and young adults, working on speed, agility, and coordination. He's from Montreal, but he has done work for various organizations in Quebec, where he has helped develop athletes in tennis, hockey, gymnastics, and football. One of the most notorious characteristics of Dean is that he has a true passion for sports. And finally, he is currently the director of fitness at CDL. Let's welcome Dean Hollywood.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It's truly an honor and a pleasure to be here today. I started preparing this presentation, I'd like to say almost 5 months ago. As soon as I spoke with Mark and we decided on a topic, I dove into it with great passion and I couldn't wait. I've been busting at the seams, honestly, ever since it's been raised. I've been ready for a month and I've just been busting at the seams to present it. So thank you very much for coming. I want to thank the ITPA. I think it's a wonderful organization. I was here last year. It was the first one. I was completely blown away by it. Not only by the great presenters, the great people that formed the ITPA, but you guys. I was sitting where you were last year, and I was so amazed at how easy it was to network and to get to know the people. I've been to every conference. Perform Better, NSCA, IDEA, everything. I've never made so many friendships as I have, especially this past weekend, as I had here at the ITPA. So thank you for that. Thank you to Mary Jo and the entire ITPA team. The work you do is amazing. Thank you to Mark for all your work, your research. I understand that Mark is a wonderful person and a wonderful coach. And also, Mark can pretty much say anything and you'll believe it with that accent. So, there you go. So, just before we get into this, I just want to give you a bit of my background. I am head of fitness. I'm the fitness director at a Montreal tennis club. It's one of the largest tennis clubs in Montreal. Prior to that, I worked mainly with football players and hockey players, especially coming from Montreal. Hockey is not a sport, it's more of a religion. So I had the fortune of working with a lot of professional hockey players and a lot of college and high school kids. When I came into the tennis world, I was pretty much new at it. I worked with racquetball players and squash players, and I worked with people in almost every sport, from team handball to, you know, water polo. And what I found was tennis was really something special. I mean, our goal as coaches is, of course, to keep our athletes healthy, because it doesn't matter how much your athlete is strong, it doesn't matter how much your athlete is fast, if he or she is sitting on a bench, nobody will know. And tennis, for me, that's one of the big things is injury prevention. And what I'm going to go through today with the core training is how to get your athletes having a strong core so we can avoid some of those injuries that we see from a weak core. So, as I do, even with my athletes or anybody I'm working with, I tell them what we're going to go through for the day. So we're going to, by the end of this, you'll be able to answer all these questions perfectly. Next slide. So when did it all start? After I finished the presentation, I actually put this in, so the beginning was the end. But I was doing a lot of research on core training. I wanted to just, you know, re-get acquainted, if you will, again. And then, you know, we hear a lot about planks and side planks and, you know, the Dr. McGills of the world and the Mike Boyles talking to us about planks and all these core conditioning exercises. So I found something very interesting. I found this book, and if you notice down here at the bottom, it says 1880. Next slide, please. Oddly enough, there's your plank. 1880. This book, you can't find it as a book, but I found it online where you can read it as a book, and it was actually quite amazing. Leg swings, leg sweeps, all these exercises we still do today. Exercises I do today were in the 1880 book. Next slide. And then we had a side plank. Next one. So when I started looking at core, you know, the early definitions of core back in 81, we were looking like for stability of the lumbar spine. I mean, that's what our core did, right? It really was important for stability of the lumbar spine. And then it started progressing. Core expanded from the musculoskeletal models of spinal stability to studies focused on the core muscle activity and lower back pain. I know often when I get a new athlete, what happens is the athlete or the parent, depending on the age, is, okay, he has a lower back problem, and he needs core training. I mean, it's often, the two are often associated together, and we can see that it's been around for quite some time. Next. And then we have Dr. McGill that started looking at how all the body, not the entire body, but pretty much from socket to socket, works in it as a symphony to co-contract to help us with our movement and not allowing the lower back to be jeopardized from a weak core. So we're talking about a co-contraction, transfer of power between upper body and lower body. Okay? We heard a lot this weekend about med ball training and how it's important that how we develop power from the lower body through the core into the upper body. And it's really our core that attaches our upper body to our lower body. If we have a weak core, we will have an energy leak. And if we have an energy leak, then you're losing the power through there. And you're not, no matter how much you train your lower body, you'll never be able to transfer the lower body power into what really is important for a strong serve, forehand, or backhand. And we know a lot of athletes that don't use their core, and we're not even talking about core strength at this point, we know a lot of athletes that don't use their core properly and have a lot of arm motion in tennis, what starts to happen? Well, we either start getting shoulder problems or we start getting elbow problems. So what is the core? This is what we think the core is often, you know. Especially if you work with athletes, if you work with non-athletes, who doesn't want a six-pack? I mean, that's like, you know, the badge of the gym. Everybody wants this. But, you know, as an athlete, this is not, you could have this and be all show and no go. Okay? This is a representation of low body fat. Yes, he's probably put a lot of hours in the gym to get this, there's no doubt. But this is mainly because of body fat. This isn't because they have a great core that is functional for a sport. Here we go. Yeah, you know, I figured me up here was enough. I had to throw my slide on there too. It's a little bump there. Anyway, but to me, core training comes out to this. All the great net ball exercises that we saw yesterday, this is why I do the basis of my core work. It's to get to this position to start throwing med balls. Okay? Is this a core exercise? Yes. Is it a power exercise? Yes. It's a lot of things in one. But again, if I'm going to throw a med ball, even before I start running from place to place, I need to have a strong core. The med ball will help teach the athlete how to transfer lower body power through the core while maintaining stability and develop a strong upper body swing. So, I mean, I only have 45 minutes. Most of these muscles make up the core. The core, I guess the point of this, is not just rectus, transverse, obliques. It's a lot of things. Socket to socket. And there's some coaches who tell you core training is from your nose to your toes. So what is the core? Anti-rotation exercises should prevent your spine from rotating or twisting. Okay? Because even if I twist, my belly button should always stay with my upper body. If I start twisting like this and I start getting out of it, we don't want that. We want to prevent that energy leak. Anti-extension and deflection exercises. Okay? So we see sometimes we have an athlete that has a very weak core, and perhaps in their first motion towards the neck, they lose it. And they go into this position because their core isn't able to stable them. But these exercises are what we want to do in order to prevent that. And then, you know, side bending. this is becoming really big now. These farmer walks, suitcase walks, becoming really big in the industry. Dan and John, that's really like got this flowing again. I incorporate them into my own personal workout. I gotta tell you, it makes a huge difference. And plus it really builds a little character, because when you're supposed to be holding, what they say is you're supposed to hold close to 75% to 100% of body weight and walk up 30 to 40 meters with it, you start developing a little grit. So core stability is the ability to lock the core, torso, and pelvis in a neutral position. To me, that's a pretty nice definition. Dr. Stuart McGill. I saw him 10 years ago, maybe, at a conference, and it completely changed my thinking about core training, about training in general. Without mentioning him, this would not be appropriate. So he says, and it's very simple, a well-trained core is essential for optimal performance. We know this, okay? But the obvious can never be overstated. His big thing was no crunches. So he came out and he did studies where they designed this machine that took spines, I believe it was pigs, and they put it in and it would just simulate a crunch, and it would bend it and bend it and bend it and bend it. And what they found is that eventually the disc would rupture. The spine discs only have so many number of bends before they damage. Now, if you do crunches, it doesn't make you a bad person. But if there's any truth to this, why would you want to subject your athlete to crunches? If there's any truth. The tennis athlete goes through so much on the court in different positions where the back is tested, the back is taking advantage of. Why would you want to do this in the gym also? If I have the ability to maintain a very neutral spine and not take anything away from the lower back, why would I not do that? I threw this in the presentation at this point. It's not directly related to Dr. McGill, but you know, there's a lot of great therapists, Shirley Sharman. A lot of people have said this, but to me, this is something many years ago that I read about, and I found that, and it's just, it hit me. The lumbar spine isn't designed for a lot of movement. It's only 2 degrees per segment. So if you think about, Satoshi was talking about thoracic rotation. If you do not have thoracic rotation, what's the body? The body's smart enough to go get what it needs wherever it needs it, if you like it or not. Thoracic spine is supposed to be very mobile. Lumbar spine is supposed to be stable. If I do not have a thoracic spine that's capable of rotating the way it's supposed to do, it goes down and it gets rotation in the lower back. And that's when we start seeing a lot of problems. So the other thing we spoke about too, I'm just going to add in, you know, the body's design, you got mobility, stability. So your thoracic spine has to be mobile. Lumbar spine has to be stable. Your hips have to be mobile. Knees have to be stable. And then at the bottom, ankles have to be mobile. And if any of these two, thoracic or hips, start to be not mobile, the lower back is the point of price that we pay. So he believed in a few things, Dr. McGill. Stiffening as opposed to drawing in. You hear a lot of cueing where it's like pull your belly button in, you know, activate the transverse abdominis. I would challenge that. If I asked you, if you came up here, I said, listen, I'm going to punch you in the stomach. You have the choice of pulling in your belly button or get down there and get ugly with me and get tense. You would stiffen, not you would draw in. Okay, so that's one thing we want to keep in mind. The core musculature functions differently than the limb musculature in that the core muscles often co-contract, stiffening the torso such that all muscles become synergistic. Endurance versus strength. So when you have an athlete that's new at training, you don't want to go into the strength aspect for anything really, but I'm just talking to the lower back. You know, you want to go and build up a good endurance for the lower back first. And what we see here is he gave up these stages of progressive exercise design, and we look at corrective. You know, this is usually for somebody that's coming in with a lower back problem. And then two, I think, is really important. Group appropriate and perfect motion and motor patterns. I cannot tell you how many times I walk through a gym and I see someone doing a plank and it's just, it's horrible. I don't know, 90% of people don't do a plank well. And what I find even more upsetting is when I see a trainer there with the arms crossed going, yeah, that's it, good, good. I think, you know, as trainers, it's one thing, yes, we write the programs, but we have to watch the programs. You have to be involved with your athlete, because every time you perform something that's incorrect, you're creating negative motor patterns, and you're just adding to the problem. You're not part of the solution. So this, I threw this in at this point, in case I need a little chuckle. What do you think? It's not good. And the best thing about this picture is that it was associated with an article written in our, it's called the Gazette, it's in Montreal, it's a big paper. And the woman that wrote it put this picture with all of Dr. McGill's, you know, philosophies and writings. And it's these things and YouTube and all these other things that people look at this, they're like, wow, this is what I need to do. I mean, this is not easy on the ball. Okay, this is not what we want to see at all for training. So what is the best way to train the core? Well, everything we've discussed to this point. And the core should be trained like anything else. It's all about progression. It's all about taking your athlete, from the beginning and progressing them. There's nothing wrong with doing a plank. There's nothing wrong with doing a bird dog. You've got to start somewhere. And every exercise that you have, every exercise that you give to your athlete is an evaluation. And it's going to tell you a lot about the athlete and how you can progress them. So one last thing, again, this just came out June 2015. Dr. McGill did another, it's actually a great study, I love it, go ahead. The effectiveness of isometric and dynamic core training methods. So this is what he did. This was his workout for the isometric group. So we can see all the exercises that he's preached about that a lot of people have preached about. Plank, bird dog, side plank. And then the last, I love, inverted row. So we're not really thinking a core exercise, are we? We're thinking it's an inverted row and even like half kneeling chops and kettlebell stuff. And then the other group was your typical curl up, Superman, side curl up, twisting. So what they found was, conclusion, the isometric exercise approach was superior in enhancing torso stiffness over the dynamic approach in a 6-week trial. Pretty much expected that. What I really like about this is the last sentence here, naive and savvy. So what he did was, it wasn't enough, he just didn't go in and take a group of college students, which is often the case, and just gave them exercises. And of course, they would see some type of improvement. But the savvy group was Muay Thai fighters, who had at least a year of experience of fighting and training. And these guys, I mean, if you've ever watched Muay Thai fighting, I mean, these guys are in great shape and they're great athletes. And they also, they responded the same way. So we see the benefits of this type of training. Which core exercises for tennis players? What I'm going to do is I'm going to take you through the whole gamut of exercises. Not everything, because this could be an extremely long day of doing this, which would have been great. But we're going to start at the beginning, and I didn't even start at the beginning. Go ahead. Demonstration progressions, yes. Okay, don't play it. So we're starting with a bird dog, but there's even something before that. Who here does rolling patterns with their athletes? You know, getting back into primitive exercises where you just put them on their back and see if they can roll over. I mean, what was one of the first motions we did as infants? You know, you looked up and then you turned over. And doing rolling patterns is something that is beyond the scope of today. But that's also somewhere where you could start. Could you play this, please? So what we're doing here is we're starting in a bird dog, in a quadruped position. And I'm getting her, this isn't for any other reason, but I just want her to feel how far her spine can come up and come down. I'm asking her to find neutral. Now, I ask the athlete, I ask the person if I can touch him. I don't get friendly that quickly, okay? Now, I use the dowel, because her ponytail's throwing this off a little. I use the dowel in order to see. I should have 3 points of contact, the head, the mid-back, and the lower part of the back. And as she does this motion, she does it very well. I mean, you can see that nothing changes. Nothing changes. She stays stable. And she's working hard. And I make corrections as I go along. I want it to be perfect throughout the whole. Okay, we can stop. Everyone's seen this exercise done, right? Everyone's seen that done? Who's... It's amazing when I go into a gym and I see people, because everyone that has a background, right, they get this exercise. That's pretty much the case. How many people you see, they're like on the ground, they're flapping in the air, there's no time taken. Exercise just isn't a physical dimension. It also requires a lot of mental activity. It requires the athlete, the person, I don't care who it is, it really requires them to get involved in the exercise. When I take someone that says, I do that, I said, let me see. Because I want to see it. Don't tell me you've done it. I got to see it to believe it. And I start getting involved with them. Like I dig in my fingers. Because sometimes people don't even know how to activate their core. And I dig in my fingers. And I want to feel them resist against. I want to feel them break. And now all of a sudden, wow, that exercise has just become much more difficult. And now, if your athlete cannot do that, what's the regression? Because we have to be able to progress, but we also have to be able to progress. What's the regression? I can go to one arm at a time. I can go to one leg at a time and build up from there. What's my progression? Well, I can have them hold it for longer. I can have them make squares out in front. And this is very important for us to have in our toolbox, is know how to go forward and how to go backwards with all the exercises. So now we're starting in a plank. We're starting on these, you know, just, whoops.
Back up, please.
So we're going to let these play through because it's already 20 after. So we're just doing a plank here. It's good. I might have put a little up. If you never taped yourself working out, do it. Because I did a lot of taping of myself and I was amazed at how much I cheat at things. And if you don't tape yourself training somebody, do it, because you learn so much from just the videotape of how you are. So here we see a plank. So she's doing the plank, she put her feet wide. Now we're just gonna do an arm reach with the plank. And this is becoming more difficult. And this is the only exercise that we can do with plank. Now I put her in a push-up position, her hands are wide, and I'm just gonna touch shoulder to shoulder. Always making sure that back stays. You know, a lot of people do this and you start seeing that the hips going from side to side.
Okay, next please.
Now we're gonna go into a side plank. So side plank, a lot of people have a hard time with side planks, but there's nothing wrong with starting with the knees, on the knees. All you don't want to see is just coming up straight. You really start with the hips back. You come forward into position as opposed to up and down. Then we go into a side plank, and this, if there's one exercise you can take from today, which I love for tennis players, it's this right here, from a side plank into a plank, hold it, and come out. I think she did a great job with that. It's brilliant. And the beauty of this, you take your time with it, and then once the athlete becomes stronger, if they can come in and come out quick, it's wonderful.
Next, please.
I'm back. Okay, now we have some ball exercises. Here we go. So I'm just going to do some roll-ups. And I'm going to show a couple of different positions. My hips are slightly too high on this. Maybe a little. They come and go. I'm just coming in and out. You also get a great stretch out of this exercise. That's one way of doing it. Now I'm just showing another way where I'm not coming up all the way in and the way out. I'm just coming in and out with my arms. And then I'm going to plank on the ball and stir the pot. And I'll do circles one way, I'll do circles the other way. I'll have the athlete spell their name out, whatever it takes.
Next, please.
Then I'll use a TRX. I'll use the TRX for exercise. This is actually becoming quite difficult now. Okay, where I will come out and I will try and reach out as far as I can. You know, I'm a little cold starting here, so cut me some slack. But I think I get more adventurous as it goes on. And I'm looking in the mirror to make sure that I'm actually trying to maintain good alignment. Then what I love doing, I got courageous. Yeah, there you go. Then I'm going to go into a push-up position. Now I'm just going to go one arm at a time. Okay, some dissociation. I'm also getting great shoulder stability here. I can move up, and there's no specific pattern. You move one arm at a time, you move both, up, back, down. Just moving it, creating a different environment, a different stimulus for the athlete.
Next, please. Thank you.
Okay, looking very serious here. We go into chops. So we just went from, if we did rolling, we went into a quadruped on the ground. Now we're coming up a little. Okay, we're starting to come, if you will, a little more functional. So now I'm going to go
this one.
Back up one, yeah. Thanks. We're going to go into chops. Okay? You can see my foot here in the front. I'm cheating. But you really want to keep a nice, you know, a line. You'd like to see the athlete have the knee and the foot on the same line and really get tight, coming down across. We don't have, at our gym, we don't have that, I think it's called the Great Cook Bar or something. We don't have that bar, which is awesome to have. So you can use the tricep rope, if you will, coming across, coming down. Again, I'm trying to stay tight all the way through.
Go next, please.
Then I'm showing you a different hand position. Here we go, so we're doing a reverse. And essentially, what am I doing here? I'm pulling, and then I'm pushing and pulling. It's a pushing-pulling motion coming across my body. Okay. Then I'm going to go into a kneeling position, and this really isn't a chest or a back workout, but it's a great anti-rotation exercise, because I got one pulley system pulling me one way, the other coming the other way, and I'm really trying to maintain a very stable core while doing it. And then, as I discussed earlier, the farmer walks. I think this is it's a great exercise. It's not something you want to incorporate every day, obviously. But the kids really love it because it becomes challenging, especially to see how far they can go with it each week. And the suitcase carry. Farmer walk is two dumbbells. Suitcase carry is just one dumbbell. This is something that I really enjoy doing with my athletes. I get a lot of bang for the buck. It's a great core, it's movement, and it can be conditioning if you really start pounding away on the athlete. Go ahead, please. So, it's coming up. So here I'm just doing it, it's called a pallet press. I call it a push away, because people remember I'm just pushing away. So that becomes easy. So I just do the push away. Then if I want to make it a little more difficult, I start doing circles, clockwise, counterclockwise. And then again, as with the Swiss ball, when I was on it planking, I'm spelling my name here in caps. So then if we want to start making it a little more specific, now I start moving as I'm trying to keep my body very stable. So I'm moving across the gym floor, and this is, and obviously the further I get, the more difficult it becomes. This is the exercise. So now I have them shuffle, three shuffles away, three shuffles back, and a half. You get at the end, and you get it going here. You do that three times in a row, take a 15-second break, go to the other side. I'm telling you, they will feel it. There's no doubt. They love it. I love throwing this in really at the end. It can be part of conditioning, but it's a great exercise. Med ball throws, go. We saw a lot of those yesterday, so there's different ones. I mean, it can be really good for tennis because it can be tennis specific depending on what your stance are. So open stance, close stance, and love the slams and then throws alternating sides, moving to a spot like we saw yesterday, which was a great demonstration. Go, please. Thank you. And then, well, that's me. So we know all about the med ball. You know, about the med balls, one thing I want to point out is that what I see often, especially with the junior players, they're given balls that are way too heavy for them. Okay. You know, you give a little tight 12 to 10 year ball, you got to be joking me, right? The kid can barely throw it. It becomes a disaster, and it's all types of movement. So once they start learning that negative motor pattern, that's what they start to know. And with a lot of the exercises, especially med ball throws, you don't have to start with them. You can just start with an elastic and have them learn the motor pattern. They can hold the ball, go through it, never release the ball. And then once you get big, there's nothing wrong. I start 1 pound. 1 pound, 1 kilo, whatever it is. Start light. Because if you're throwing med balls and it's a slow process going through, what are you teaching? You're teaching slowness. Where we want power. We want speed. We want to see explosive. And as a coach, what I'm teaching is I get pretty fired up. I want to see them put that ball right through the wall. And then there's also exercises that also can really activate the core. Okay, it doesn't have to be just a core session. There's exercises within everyone's workout programs that has great core value. The TRX push-ups, the TRX rows, we saw in Dr. McDill's study. Straight arm pull-downs is a great core activator. The late Dr. Mel Sipp, who passed away many years ago, was a very well-respected strength coach. He believed it was even better better than sit-ups, than crunches. Standing one-arm cable press. I mean, personally, I'm of the belief that a tennis player doesn't need a big chest. They don't need to bench 350. There's nothing wrong about putting them in a staggered stance and just having them come through and just building it, because we're getting great core activation. And any type of Swiss ball exercises also. I love putting the hands on the ball. It's great for shoulder stability.
Go ahead.
The Turkish getup, I just threw that in at the end. That's really big. Turkish getup, if you know how to teach it, the kids love it. The athletes really like it. We do a naked getup, no weights, for quite a long time. And then something I did this past year is I told them, as soon as I can see you do it perfectly, once each side with no mistakes, I'll let you put a cup of water in your hand. So we did it on a Friday. It was a hot day because in Montreal, you know, I can get down to minus 20. So we did it on a hot day, and the kids had a blast trying to get up off the ground balancing a cup of water. So how to implement these exercises into your program? Well, there's different areas where you can do this. You can, you know, separately, as it's very traditional at the end of a session, part of your dynamic warm-up should have some core activation in it. Because you can't tell me crawling, the inchworm, and I didn't even touch on it, crawling's amazing. The inchworm's great. These are all exercises that you'll have some core activation happening, and it's part of your dynamic warm-up. Make it part of your training program. Combined with conditioning. One thing that I like doing is at the end with my athletes, we'll start conditioning, and then when, you know, their rest period is, okay, get down. I want you to learn how to breathe and how to maintain a stable core at the same time. Okay, so this is just part of, you know, you can put, I like doing, if we did a goblet squat, a one-arm row, do a side bridge, or a split squats, TRX row, and a plank. My workouts, what I really emphasize in is a lot of density. I don't want a lot of time standing around just talking. It's from one to the other. If it's a plank, if it's a corrective exercise, it's always constant motion. And they're getting enough rest period in between exercises with either a plank or a corrective exercise. Okay. I'm going to finish with this little statement from Dr. McGill, which was in his book, and I think it doesn't just apply to core training. I think it applies to training in general. I think as strength coaches, sometimes maybe we get too excited, or sometimes we get a little fearful, perhaps, that we don't want to give our athletes too much stuff. You know, we want to avoid that injury. You don't want to be that coach that has an athlete that hurt themselves because of overtraining. And ultimate back health comes from not doing too much or too little. I mean, that's what it's really about. Can we give our athletes the proper recipe for them to succeed and be healthy at the same time? Thank you.